The Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. With amazing specials on food and ice-cold beer, there's no better place to watch your favorite sports.
Yes, indeed. It's a hump day here in the Sports Cage. Ballsy with you, and I'm working with a special guest here. I've never worked with this guy before. I'm looking forward to it. I'll introduce him in a second, but as the big voice guy told you, it is a Mako Hockey Wednesday. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako. So we'll have a lot of hockey talk, but we are in the heart of Rider Country, and my co-host has his Rider shirt on. I've got my Rider toque on, so we will talk Rider football because it is day two of free agency, and the Riders held a press conference this afternoon where Jeremy O'Day addressed all the fears and concerns Rider fans have because the sky is falling in the middle of February. Also talked about their signings. We'll hear from him. We'll also hear from Micah Johnson, the big defensive tackle, all-star signing away from Calgary. And we're going to hear from Zach Collaros, who, yes, is back in the fold as quarterback of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We're just going to be joined shortly by Rich Sutter to kick the show off, but I want to welcome in my co-host, Bob Krawczyk. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Ballsy. How are you today?
Awesome, man. It's great to actually work with you. Watched you many a year on Global Sports, and it's great to sit down next to you and talk some hockey, talk some football. Just before we get Rich on the line, your initial thoughts on what you saw yesterday, day one of free agency. Is the sky falling for you, Bob Krawczyk?
No, it is not. The Riders obviously didn't do as much as some other teams did. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't get Jonathan Jennings.
Okay.
There was a lot of people that were going, well, we should, you know, mm-hmm. get him. And he's just too inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Collaros, I have no problem with Zach Collaros, but it's the same issue I think that everybody else has is, can he stay healthy? He's a very good quarterback when he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. That is the issue. Micah Johnson, great signing.
Yeah.
Great signing. I know people are a little concerned that Willie Jefferson's gone, but you're not going to get Micah Johnson and Willie Jefferson, though that would be tremendous.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. William Powell, a nice signing because the Riders bolster their running game. He was the best guy on the board there. And they got Corey Watson today, and they're not done yet. And we'll get into all that as the show progresses. Like I said, we'll hear from three members of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But let's head out on the Wheaton Kia hotline. And yes, our hotline is brought to you by our good friends over there at Wheaton Kia. This February, get their new Forte for only $12.99 during their Month of Love event. And by the way, you want to weigh in, the phone numbers are 936-6262 in town. That's a number to call and text. And you can also call us long distance, 1-866-767-0620. But we're joined by Rich Sutter. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
We're doing well. Like I said, we're in the heart of Rough Rider country, so free agency in the CFL is on everybody's mind. But in the NHL world, the trade deadline is right around the corner. I want to get into what all the Canadian teams should do. There's a couple of surprises on the docket here. But, Rich, first off, the Calgary Flames last year coming out of the All-Star break soiled the sheets and ended up missing the playoffs, actually. This year, that's not going to happen, but they've dropped four of their past five games. Your thoughts on what the Flames are doing or not doing right now?
Well, I'm not surprised, you know, that they've been on such a roll all year long. And, you know, teams do hit some rough spots, and, you know, they've managed to keep their heads well above water for quite some time and in a little bit of a spell now, but I don't expect it to last long. This is a good team that's got all kinds of depth. I don't think they're playing as gritty or as hard as they probably are going to have to play come playoff time. They got handed a pretty good lesson in Tampa Bay last night, which I saw coming. Tampa had kind of left their foot off the pedal a couple games previous and weren't happy with how they were playing it. So it was a team coming to town with the Calgary Flames, had their attention, and a good team rose to the challenge, and a good team didn't because they were in a rut. So there's going to be change. There's going to be, I think, some tweak in there. They're going to try to do something. There's no doubt. There's no secret. They want to. They're one of a number of teams I want to add. I don't think they certainly don't need to worry about adding up scoring. They need to add up maybe a little bit more sandpaper, a little more grit, and a little bit better way to defend come playoff time.
Can they add much? Like, they're kind of tight on cap space from what I can garner. Can they move something around? Like, you know, one guy you hear mentioned in the talking point, not just for Calgary, but for a lot of teams, Wayne Simmonds out of Philadelphia, who's a proven playoff guy. And when you talk sandpaper, he can add some goals and definitely some grit.
Well, everyone would love to have a guy like Wayne Simmonds, but, you know, it's a rental.
Oh, did we lose him? We may have lost him. There you are. Go ahead. Keep going, Rich.
It's a rental. The guy.
Zinger, we're going to let's hang up the line and try to call him back again. Okay. We'll just hang on the phone here because I know that's gets annoying to some listeners. You know, Calgary is a team that, like Rich was saying, Bob, they don't need a lot of, they don't need a lot of help scoring wise, but they do need a little bit of sandpaper maybe on that third line.
They've also been, tied into Mark Stone as well.
Right.
Is another name.
Ottawa
that could be, it's going to be an unrestricted free agent. We'll see if Ottawa can sign him or not. That's a name that's also
Matt Zuccarello's well. Another guy that could be an interesting add too.
That's certainly adds to the scoring punch there. But everybody looks just for that little extra. But with Calgary, they're pretty deep, but they could certainly use another forward. And as Rich mentioned, the more grit you have, the better, because we know the playoff hockey is a lot different than the regular season hockey.
Hmm.
So I'm sure they'll be looking around.
Yeah. All right, let's get back on the Wheaton Key hotline, and we're rejoined by Rich Sutter. Okay, Rich, we want to hear your golden tones. I think we got a good connection once again. So let's move on from the Calgary Flames and quickly touch on the Oilers. I don't want to do too much on the Oilers because, like I said, they're my team, and it's quite a bone of contention. And we talked last time, you and I did, a couple weeks ago, it's hard to move any of the contracts, and I don't know what kind of assets they got to move, but if they are going to move a couple guys, Alex Chason, who was a nice find, kind of a bargain bin for them, he could be a nice move for some team. He's got like 19 goals. And do you think Cam Talbot can bring back any return?
Well, I think yep, they've got. There's no doubt. I think just because he's a hard.
We'll have to try that line again there, Zinger. I'm sorry, just breaking up too bad. We'll try to reconnect with Rich Sutter here and juggle our lineup around here when we can. And you can keep trying them here, see if we can get a more solid line. Edmonton. I mean, I don't think Wayne Gretzky's brother Keith and Nicholson, they'd be foolish to move any like first round picks or anything, because even if they get in the playoffs, they're gonna get stomped.
Well, the thing is, they have to get over about five teams. Like,
yeah.
Everyone says, well, they're only 6 points out of a playoff spot. Yeah, but they're 13th in the conference.
Yeah.
They should do nothing. They should do nothing and just let it play out how it's going to play out and then go from there, because they don't have a lot of assets that they can move. And you're certainly not going to give up picks and futures just to try to get in. They should just leave everything alone and worry about it in the offseason, because right now they're looking for a general manager.
Yeah. And
another complication in the middle of a season.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because how many teams, especially before the trade deadline, are going to say, well, we're going to let our assistant GM go,
yeah,
so we can get all our inside intel,
yeah,
and handle that. So they're probably not realistically going to find anybody until the off season. And wouldn't you wait till the off season anyway? Because then you have all your options open.
Okay, let's see if we can squeeze Rich in again. Okay,
Rich, time's a charm.
Yeah, we're trying a different line. Go ahead, Rich. What did you think of the Oilers situation there?
Well, like I said, I think your best chip and the cheapest chip to move is going to be Chiasson, just because of the way his contract is, and he should be able to bring someone back. But again, if you're thinking of that, then you're losing a guy that's had a heck of a year for you and has scored goals on a team that hasn't scored a lot. So I think that they're going to have to look at, maybe they've got a lot of defensemen. They get Sekerash, who will be coming off,
mm-hmm,
and will be activated and recalled in the next 3 or 4 days. You're going to have 8 or 9 defensemen on that roster now, and I think your best chip, other than the aforementioned Chason, is going to have to be a Petrovic, a Benning. Is there someone else in that back end that you can move to? Maybe, you know, you're probably not going to get top six guys, but maybe you can get a good pick. Maybe you can get a good third line guy, but they've got to try and find something, and I don't know how they're going to do it, but they better get it figured out.
I still maintain the Winnipeg Jets have the best Canadian chance to win the Stanley Cup and bring it back to our country. They've got ample cap space, too, and a couple of interesting names they might look at. Matt Duchene coming out of Ottawa to give him some, solidification up there in the middle. How about Panarin out of Columbus? There's another guy that's kind of on the block there. Where do you see the Jets going here?
Well, right now, you know, there's no secret that Kevin Cheveldayoff last week came out and said that the first pick would be made available. If you're looking at that, it's a late round pick, a late first round pick. But, you know, there are guys on the table there. There's no doubt. They've got some good young players. They're deep. They roll four lines. They've still got 14 or 15 forwards that are all National Hockey League players. I think a Roslovic type of guy is going to be a guy that could be moved. I think that they're still going to want to add depth. Plus, they're going to want to add something on the back end. So they're in a good position. I think they're in a strong position to make something happen, and I won't be surprised if they do.
Are you sold on Hellebuck as the goalie to get you to the championship?
I think you have to be. You know, Connor had a real good run last year. I don't think he's been as good this season. I think he'd be the first to admit to that. But hey, they're winning hockey games. They're first in the conference, and they're doing it the right way. So I think you got to ride him and trust him that he'll find his game to where they need it to be.
Two pleasant surprises for Canadian teams: the Montreal Canadiens and the Vancouver Canucks. I would say, wouldn't it be prudent for them just to hold the line and really not do much at the deadline because their future's ahead of them? And I don't think, you know, anything can happen, but those teams probably aren't winning the cup this year. What do you think?
This is personally how I think this is going to play out. Honestly, Mark Bergevin has been all around the National Hockey League watching a lot of teams, a lot of games in the last couple weeks. He's not doing that just because he's on a travel holiday. He's trying to make something happen. They're a team that I think is, I wouldn't say so much surprised a lot of people, but they played very well as a group. And that's a feather in Claude Julien's cap about how he's managed to put this team together and keep it going the way they have. Hey, Carey Price has had a bounce back year, so that's been a big difference. But I think they're like any other team that's kind of on the inside right now, that feel if they can make something happen with a tweak or two without giving out a lot on their lineup, that they feel that might get them over the top. So I would not be surprised if they do something. In Vancouver, personally, I don't know why you'd want to do something unless someone's really going to pull you out of your chair with an offer for a Brandon Sutter or for someone like that can come in and be Brandon's been a kid that's always been a real good playoff performer. I'm not saying he's going to get traded, but I would like to think there's got to be some teams out there calling, asking for players like him that got proven playoff experience that can come in and help a team. And I think if Jim Benning can find something that's going to show him or tell him that, yeah, this is something that's good for our group moving forward, then he would do it. But if that doesn't happen, I don't expect them to do anything.
And the Toronto Maple Leafs are, when I said Winnipeg has the best chance, I mean, the Leafs are a great team. I just don't know about their back end. Where do you see them adding, you know, after Muzzins? I mean, that was a nice pickup, but where do you see them adding to really make a serious push here? They got to get some playoff success here under Babcock.
Well, you know, I they're a good team. There's no doubt. I think they probably want to get a little bit grittier, a little bit heavier. I think that's the biggest reason why they added a Jake Muzzin, because this guy knows how to play come April, and he's got proven experience. But they're still going to add, like I said, they're like every other team that's got real good pieces that maybe they can move a piece or two out to help make them a little bit different and a little bit stronger at another position. So, you guys, look, there's a lot of teams trying to do something, but you know, it's all easier said than done. It comes down to switching out contracts. It comes down to moving money. It comes out to how does it affect your cap space not just for the balance of the regular season, but how is it or will it affect your cap space moving forward next year? So you got to be a real good mathematician at the same time to make things like this work.
Okay, so I'm going to launch a question of the day with you like I did the last time you were on the show, okay? I just fulfilled the Super Bowl bet that I lost. My co-host in the morning, Chad McDonald and the Wolf, if my team lost the Rams, I would have to lick Dorito dust off of his fingers. So I had to go lick his fingers clean with the Dorito dust. That was a wild bet I lost. Any bets you've made, any wild bets you've made, Rich Sutter, that you regretted and paid back?
No, because I didn't do anything that stupid.
Thanks, Rich. We've talked twice on the air and I'm stupid. That's good. I like that. No, that's good. At least I honored my bet.
No, I'm telling you, that's good on you to be able to do that, because for you to do that and be able to do the show today, I'm surprised you're not homesick.
thanks for joining us, Rich, on the Wheat and Kia Hotline. We look forward to talking to you again, okay?
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Have a great week.
You too, man.
See you, Rich.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to ask Bob Krawchuk that question on the other side. Is he a big bettor? We'll even bring Zinger, our producer, into the conversation, and you too. What's the biggest bet, wildest bet you've ever made? And you fulfilled that bet, because I just did. You're listening to The Sports Cage. It's a Mako Hockey Wednesday on 620 CKRM. And it's the afternoon rush here on the Sports Cage, brought to you by Boston Pizza. It's the big rib deal at Boston Pizza. Get a full rack of their pork back ribs for just $19.99. Boston Pizza, gather around. Jeremy O'Day held court at Mosaic Stadium, saying they've offered a contract to Naaman Roosevelt, waiting to hear back from him. They're in the market for a quarterback to back up Zach Collarson, talking to a couple of veteran guys. William Powell is signing with the team because they won't have Trey Mason this year because of that Achilles injury, so we kind of knew that. They were in the running for Bo Levi Mitchell, but obviously he stayed in Calgary, and they are concerned about Zach Collaros' health, but they'd be concerned about anybody's health. That's kind of as vague as it gets.
Just takes one hit.
That's right, but it takes one hit for anybody. NHL, there are two games on NHL ice tonight. We've got the Edmonton Oilers in Pittsburgh trying to keep their flickering playoff hopes alive, and Vancouver's on the road in Anaheim. Interesting note there, Bob Krawchuk. Bob Murray making his coaching debut. He has never coached before, and he is going to coach the Anaheim Ducks tonight.
Well, what they were having before wasn't working yeah. either, so, but they have a plan there.
Yeah.
They want to bring Dallas Eakins up from the AHL,
yeah.
and there's a bunch of younger guys that he's got with him, like Sam Steele. Josh Maher, I believe, is yep. former Pats, yep. is there as well. So when they let Carlisle go because the train was way off the tracks,
yeah.
and Murray, I think they're just going to run out the year and then worry about in the offseason.
Dallas Eakins worked out real well in Edmonton, I just want to say. Yeah. They've got a bad culture in Edmonton, because if Ken Hitchcock can't win there, nobody can win there. So I don't blame it on Dallas or Ralph Kruger or Tom Rennie.
You need players to play.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, we're going to head out on the Wheat and Kia Hotline. Say hi to... Ryan. Ryan is on the line. Go ahead, Ryan.
How's it going today?
Good, man. What's up?
Oh, just going to rub it in your face that the Flames are by far dominant.
Yeah.
They're my team.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they don't really do much at the deadline, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Maybe get Simmons, maybe get Panarin, but I'd rather see a defenseman or a goalie, or if they can trade Smith, because he is... getting worse and worse, it seems like.
Well, nobody's throwing goalies around at this time. That's like, that would be like yeah. getting a veteran quarterback for a playoff push in football. It probably yep. isn't happening, and I think that might be the Flames' downfall. But hey, I don't like the Flames, but I'll give them credit. They're a good team to watch. I'm not trying to draw comparisons to last year, but last year after the break, they did have a spiral, and I'm not saying it's I'm not saying it's a spiral now, but they got to pick up their socks a little bit here.
Yeah, I watched the game last night. And I was like, oh, they'll win. Then 5-2, it came on, and five two, and I was like, yep, I'm shutting it off.
Yeah, you're
right. I went and played Madden upstairs on my PS4, because I'm like, I can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, Ryan, I just want to point one thing out. Abra has more cups than the Flames. I just want to point that out, okay?
Yes, I know, but...
good luck in the playoffs, my friend. I'm an Oilers fan. Yeah. The playoffs are just a rumor. Have a great day. You know, that game last night, you watched it. I didn't watch it. I'm going to tell you one guy. For the casual fan, everybody talks about Ovechkin, Crosby, McDavid. You know, they mention those players. How about Kucherov? If Kucherov is playing like in Montreal or Toronto or New York where they care about hockey.
Absolutely.
Like where it's a media market. That guy is an unbelievable hockey player.
Well, he's a leading scorer in the
league. Yeah, 63
and
assists.
He was MVP candidate last
year. Yeah.
They have a lot of weapons there, but he's very, very skilled with the puck. And he's just part of a lot that they've got going on there. Haven't seen Steven Stamkos play for a while.
Yeah.
He looked fantastic yesterday. That one-timer was that's Ovechkin-like. But they've got Kucherov. Former Moose Jaw Warrior Braden Point, he popped one last night.
Lighting it on fire, yeah.
He's been playing extremely well for them this year, and they got him as a second-round pick.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good deal. Well, that helps out a lot, too.
Stevie Yzerman built that team, and look for Stevie Yzerman to probably end up in Detroit when it's all said and done, right?
Well, he still lives in, I think, Bloomington Hills there by Detroit. That seems to be what's going to happen, is that Ken Holland's going to move on, and Stevie Y's going to take over that chair. But there's been talk that the Oilers...
Yeah,
might be taking a look at what. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, why wouldn't you take a look?
Take a look at anybody. When we come back on the other side, we're going to hear from Phil Andrews. That's Have a Heart Night with the Regina Pats. We'll get more from Bob Krawczyk, and we're asking you the question: what's the wildest bet you ever made and lost? I'll get Bob's answer on the other side. You're listening to the Sports Cage for Mako on this Hockey Wednesday on 620 CKRM. Mako Hockey Wednesday here on the Sports Cage with Ballsy and another legend, Bob Krawczyk, as you heard Mike Lang, the Pittsburgh Penguins broadcaster. He'll be broadcasting tonight. Penguins taking on the Edmonton Oilers. Bob joining me here inside the cage. If you've had an 0-0 and want a perfect again, better get Mako. You want to text? Send some texts in. 936-6262 is the number to text. And our text line brought to you by Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. That's also the local number to call, but the long distance, it's 1-866-767-0620. All our callers and guests come to us via the Wheaton Kia hotline. All right, and you can get a hold of us, too. I got to point this out. We don't do this enough. Our Twitter feed, at SportsCage, brought to you by Molson Bohemian. A smooth, delicious-tasting beer with rich Saskatchewan history, available in 12 or 24 cans or cases. Please enjoy their product responsibly. Okay, so I did a Super Bowl bet with Chad McDonald on our Wolf Morning Show, and we flipped the coin. He got to pick the team first. He picked the Patriots. I knew the Patriots would win the Super Bowl, so I had to reluctantly take the Rams. The bet was if I lost, I had to lick Dorito dust, Super Bowl snack, Dorito dust off his fingers, right down to the knuckles, and he got to control his fingers in my mouth.
Ooh.
Like, I didn't get to control the hand. He had to control it. I made him wash, sanitize, and then wash again.
I was going to say, I bet you he didn't wash his hands for about
a day. I do have a bit of a canker sore in my lip. I don't know.
Hopefully that's the worst. That's the worst of it.
I don't know if it's his fingers or the sunburn from PV, but anyway. So that was the wildest bet that I've ever lost that I had to pay off. What's the wildest bet you've ever had?
I am firmly in the Rich Sutter camp. I've done enough stupid things over my lifetime that I don't have to make bets to actually put myself in that situation. And my records with bets aren't very good, so at least I'm going, probably going to lose. So I usually keep it pretty standard.
Like $5?
$5, a dozen beers usually.
That's the tops.
That's usually. That's I've gone 24.
Okay.
But but it's usually beer or some level of cash.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember, I used to work in the business like you are now, so there wasn't a lot of money to throw around.
That's right. No, I get that. If you're that's why I do these bets, because it's just my body. If you're betting on the Leafs though in the past, no wonder you're losing a lot of your bets.
That is the Leafs and the Riders in the 80s.
Yeah.
Lessons learned there.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Lots of bets, lots of losing bets.
Zinger, I don't know if you're trying to hook up with Phil Andrews. If you can, that'd be great. I think we have it down here to get to Phil Andrews. But before we get to Phil, let's get to some things that was happening down at Mosaic Stadium. Jeremy O'Day addressed the masses, and we'll hear from him at the end of the show. But he talked about they've offered a contract to Naaman Roosevelt, and they got to beef up that receiving corps. They did sign Corey Watson today. But they got to, I mean, he doesn't strike fear in anybody's hearts, but Jake Hardy, their big signing out of Calgary, ends up having a setback with his knee, so he won't play this year either.
Which explains the Corey Watson signing, and they obviously need Canadian depth. They've got Patrick Lavoie, so that's a good start there, but they obviously need to beef up that area, especially because you look and go, Jake Hardy's back. Okay, that's not going to be a problem. And then he had the setback a la Rob Bagg back in, I believe, 10 and 11.
Yeah.
So you have to obviously have people to play. And, you know, he's a veteran guy that's been around here. So I would think he'd be a depth guy.
And he's had a couple of good seasons in Edmonton and BC. Sure. So he's a serviceable guy at 34. Let me ask you a question. They've offered Roosevelt a contract. We need receivers. I hear they're in on Darrell Walker, but he's in Toronto right now. Jim Popp's trying to get Darrell Walker. Here's the thing with the Bo Levi thing. Bo Levi turned down $500,000 more from the Argos to stay in Calgary because he liked the offensive pieces better. And why wouldn't you stay in Calgary? $500,000 over the life of the deal. But because Pop was holding the money on the side, they're in the Bo sweepstakes, he couldn't get in on other guys. So now he's in the bidding war. So it'll be interesting to see where Darrell Walker ends up.
Well, Jim Popp was very clear on the radio today. He'd mentioned that Bo Levi's annual salary, the offer for him was over $800,000 a season.
Yeah.
Darrell Walker, as you mentioned, is in town, and Jim Popp has no intentions of having him leave town.
He wants $275 a year, though.
Without signing, well, that's the thing. I mean, there's only so much money to go around.
Yeah.
But you mentioned holding the bag of money for Bo Levi Mitchell. The Riders obviously were in the running for him as well. Well, you can't make other commitments if you're waiting for somebody else, especially with a substantial contract like that. And while you're waiting to hear back from Bo Levi Mitchell, who in turn stayed in Calgary, well, other guys are getting signed. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. So people will look and say, well, the Riders, well, they maybe should have done more. But if you're waiting on Bo Levi Mitchell and guys are getting signed, you just can't say, well, we're just going to sign a bunch of other guys. And, oh, so Bo wants to come here.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you got
we spent all the cash.
We spent all the money. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get more from Bob Krawcheck and more from you about football. 936-6262 in town, toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. We want to hear from you because it is a talk show. But let's head out on the Wheaton Kia hotline right now and talk to the voice of the Regina Pats, Phil the Thrill Andrews. How are you, Phil?
Good, fellas. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. I know you're a Rider fan. You're following free agency. What did you think?
First of all, I would say that this is probably the most attention I've ever paid to CFL free agency, just because, I mean, when have there been this many top quarterbacks available at one time? I mean, not that I remember. So, I mean, as far as just a free agency day in general goes, incredibly exciting to follow. I think, like a lot of Rider fans in this province, I was hoping for, you know, one of those top quarterbacks to end up here in Saskatchewan, but I guess that's not how it goes sometimes. But it's certainly been fun to watch, no doubt.
Yeah, and nobody's losing right now in February. We're all 0-0, so we'll see how that shakes down. Phil, tonight is Have a Heart Night with the Regina Pats. They were, you know, Western Pizza is kind enough to bring in some pizza for us at the back too here, and you know what radio announcers are like. Boom, everybody swarms. Radio announcers actually on the air get the last pieces because the copywriters and the producers the front office staff and sales are in there. Sales can dump out of their pockets and buy 15 pizzas themselves, but they're the first people to dive in there. But anyway.
And they're making their money off your back.
Yeah, they're making money off my back. My back is sore. I'm actually going for back surgery tomorrow. Anyway, Phil, Have a Heart Night. Pat's always involved in the community. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's one of the special ones, I think, that, you know, has been running for a long time with this Pats Club. This will be the 23rd annual Have a Heart Night with Western Pizza. It's one of our great partners. And so our players are going to be all around the city at all the different Western Pizza locations, you know, delivering and serving pizzas in the restaurant. And all the tips and stuff like that are going to the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And we've raised, you know, upwards of almost $40,000 with this initiative over the last 23 years. So it's a fun one. I mean, the community is always so involved with it. And then there's you always get the young kids that get to meet their heroes on the ice. So, yeah, it's fun for both sides, for sure, and for a great cause.
Okay, so what's up for your hockey team this week in terms of on the ice? I know I think it's the Oil Kings in here on Friday. What else you guys got on the go?
Yeah, and then we're in Moose Jaw on Saturday. But Friday's the WHL suits up with Don Cherry night. So the guys are going to be wearing their themed Don Cherry jerseys, and those will be auctioned off in favor in support of the Kidney Foundation online. So, I mean, this is one of the fun ones that every team in the year does every year. And the guys are real excited about the jerseys because they got to pick their nicknames to put on the back. And, you know, some of them make absolutely no sense and are completely ridiculous, but they're having fun with it. So, yeah, it's going to be good on Friday night. You know, the Pats are coming off a really good road trip where they won 2 of 4 games against 4 playoff teams, playing their best hockey of the year over that 4-game stretch. So looking to carry that over to home here on Friday.
Okay, so, Phil, I'll tell you what. Don Cherry, Ron McLean were in Swift Current the other night for Hockey Day in Canada. and they still bring it. It's like, you know, Mick Jagger still brings it. Don Cherry is still bringing it. He's in his mid-80s. I mean, when this guy does pass away, whenever that is, hopefully not for a while, I mean, that will be a sad day in this country.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that they're staples in our country. There's no doubt. I mean, look at how mad people were when they took Ron McLean off Hockey Night in Canada for that 1 year, and it was just awful, you know? And then they brought him back because he's just that good. I mean, the two of them, I don't know that it'll ever be better, and certainly not for us that have grown up watching them, and now, geez, I'm into my 30s, and I still love them, right? Like, they've been there my entire life, right? So you'll never be able to replace those guys. They're so incredible, and I don't know, there's bigger icons in the country. I don't know.
Yeah, Bob Krawchuk and I are sitting here, and we both snickered when you said you're in
your
30s.
Yeah, in your 30s, yes. How's it going today, son?
Yeah. Are you taking Advil for your back?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, sales guys are making stuff off me, too. Yeah,
Hey, how many kids do you got now? Are you approaching John Chick?
No. I'm going to cut it off at about 25% of John Chick and stay there. So.
Okay. That's got to be a bit of a challenge, young family, traveling the Iron Lung across Western Canada.
Yeah, well, not for me. For my wife, yeah, but she's a rock star, so she lets me have my fun.
So, what are you what are you doing for her for Valentine's Day?
Oh, that's tomorrow, isn't it? I guess I better figure something out. Okay?
That's tomorrow. You just called her a rock star and you forget. Oh my gosh, this might be the last time we hear from Phil Andrews.
No kidding.
Okay, yeah. So before we let you go, Phil, I'm going to put you on the spot. I never did any show prep. I apologize. My fault.
All good.
Okay, you did good. So here's what I wanted to ask you. It's World Radio Day. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite call so far as a play-by-play announcer for the Regina Pats?
Can I answer twofold?
Sure.
So my first one was in 2016-17, the whole year, but leading up to that, you know, game six of the Eastern Conference Championship Series where they won in Lethbridge. That was my favorite. And then the semifinal last year in the World Cup when the Pats beat Hamilton to go to the final. Those would be my two. And then my other favorite broadcasting moment, not with the Pats, was being able to host halftime at the 2013 Grey Cup, which the Riders won on home turf. Those are my top three.
Yeah, that is outstanding. Those are three great memories right there, Phil. We appreciate you coming by and taking time out of your busy schedule. Now go get your wife something nice, okay?
Yes, I promise. You want to help me out? $20 or something? Maybe?
No, you don't want to take any love advice from this guy. That's a story for a whole nother show. Anyway, we'll talk to you later, my friend.
See you,
Bill.
All right.
See you, Phil.
See ya. That's Phil Andrews, the voice of the Regina Pats right here on your Pats radio station, 620 CKRM. Okay, Bob, back to this. We'll talk Rider football here, CFL football. Deron Carter is signed now officially with the BC Lions. And, you know, we talk about trying to sell tickets. And normally I'm not for $700,000 contract. Okay. I think it's way too much money to pay one player in this league with a salary cap that you don't even know what the salary cap is, but the BC Lions need to sell tickets. Mike Riley is a needle mover, and Deron Carter, when he's on his game, unbelievable athlete. And he likes to yap and he likes to be front and center, which will be good for a bit in BC. And I think David Braley's loading this team up so he can sell it and finally just go into the sunset.
Well, he's been trying to sell it for a number of years now, but they needed something to, as you say, move the needle. Mike Riley, that was a huge signing for them in terms of what he's going to bring to the team. Hey, they're in the same boat that the Riders were, basically. Hmm. Who's going to be our quarterback? So they needed somebody. They got him, which is excellent for them. And it's as part of that is getting people into the stands. I mean, they just don't get the attendance. You know, once the Canucks start playing hockey, regardless of how good the Canucks are or whatever, no one cares about the Lions.
Yeah.
But you get a Deron Carter in that everybody knows who he is. He's active on social media, and he creates a lot of chatter and creates a lot of interest. And they need to do that. And as much as winning cures everything. If you have a winning team, it doesn't matter who's your quarterback.
Covers a lot of words.
Exactly. But if you had trouble, you know, having success in recent years, which BC has, they need something to generate interest. And those two signings specifically are certainly going to go a long way in that direction. If those guys can't help getting people in that building, then I don't know where you go.
Tell you what, no disrespect to Jeremy O'Day. He was put in a bad spot to start his general manager career here. Craig Dickinson, late hire. Love Craig Dickinson. Hopefully he does a great job here. We know he's an accomplished assistant coach. Do you think Chris Jones leaving had a lot to do with Willie Jefferson and Toby Antigua not staying here, because they said they made a competitive offer to Willie Jefferson. They made, apparently, Micah Johnson the highest paid defensive player in the CFL. So, I mean, what do you make of that? Do you think those guys just, Chris Jones isn't here, I'm not here?
I think that's difficult to answer because Craig Dickinson's followed Chris Jones everywhere.
Yeah.
So Craig Dickinson was here and he has a lot of respect in the locker room. So I get that Chris going, but I don't think that he would be necessarily tied to everybody. I don't see why Craig Dickinson couldn't hold players that Chris Jones could. I think we, Micah Johnson, you make him the highest paid defensive player in the league. Well, between him and Willie Jefferson, that's hard to get both those guys under contract. So I think something had to give, and I think the Riders probably knew that Willie wasn't going to come back. So they threw the bag of money.
Do you like Micah better than Willie? Because some fans are saying, well, if you made him the highest paid player, why couldn't you re-sign Willie Jefferson, who's liked by the community? Do you think Micah Johnson is better than Willie Jefferson?
I'll say yes, actually. He plays a difference as defensive tackle. Micah Johnson got 14 sacks last year. Willie Jefferson got 10.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Jefferson makes impact plays that affect the outcomes of games. We're specifically talking interception returns for touchdowns. And that's what people see. Like, Willie takes a lot of double teams, and he's an excellent player.
By the way, he's still running back that interception in Winnipeg. He still is doing that.
And then he knows how to kill the clock.
He just went by the accounting office and signed the contract.
Could you just please go into the end zone, Willie?
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, yeah.
But Micah Johnson, he is so disruptive up front, and he is by far the best defensive tackle in the league. And if you get 14 sacks from that position, like, you can't pay him both. So which one would you rather have? Obviously, Willie Jefferson's a fan favorite. Micah Johnson comes from Calgary, so people kind of go, oh, he's getting a stampeder in. So I could see where people would be upset that Willie's gone and, you know, Micah Johnson's replacing him effectively in terms of along the line. Not the same position. But Johnson's good.
Yeah.
Like, Johnson's very, very good, and I don't think Rider fans are going to be disappointed.
We're going to open up the phones here in our next segment, 936-6262 in town, toll-free out of town, 1-866-676-7620. It's the Wheaton Kia Hotline, and yeah, we want to get your thoughts on hockey because it is a Mako Hockey Wednesday, but on what you think is happening in Rider Nation and what maybe Jeremy O'Day had to say today, your thoughts on that. We're going to hear from him a little later on, and right away around the corner, just after 5, we'll hear from Micah Johnson, one of the big signings for the Rough Riders on day one of free agency. He's Bob Krawczyk, I'm Ballsy, and this is the Sports Cage for Mako on a Mako Hockey Wednesday here on 620 CKRM. And this is the Sports Cage sports ticker for Regina Motor Products. The 2018 truck clear out is on now, but only until February 28th at RMP. Two games in the NHL tonight on this Hockey Wednesday. For Mako, we've got the Edmonton Oilers on the road in Pittsburgh, and Vancouver is in Anaheim, where Bob Murray, the GM, makes his coaching debut. Nikolaj Ehlers is out at least 2 more weeks. He had a setback in his recovery from a lower body injury. We're going to hear from Brian Munns of the Winnipeg Jets radio network. He'll join us just before 6. David Pastrnak is out a minimum 2 weeks, Bob Krawczyk. He fell at a sponsor's dinner and had surgery on his... Think he had a couple of sociables and fell?
Well, people are trying to go out of their way to say that he didn't.
Yeah.
But there's some speculation that that may have been the case.
Yeah, so he... 2 weeks seems like a lot, very little for thumb surgery.
From what I've understood, it's 2 weeks. It'll get reevaluated, which means could be 2 more, could be 4 more.
Mm.
So I think 2 weeks is the absolute bare minimum.
CFL News, the Rider signed Corey Watson today. Jeremy O'Day held court with reporters. We'll hear from him at the end of the show. We're going to hear from Micah Johnson and Zach Collaros, too, in the 5 o'clock hour. Lots still ahead on this program. Also, Daron Carter signing with the BC Lions. Toby Antigua leaves the Riders as a free agent to sign with the Toronto Argonauts. And Jonathan Jennings now a quarterback with the Ottawa Redblacks. You're not too sad about that, though.
No, I was fine, though. There was a lot of chatter that he was the head of the second tier of quarterbacks, but his consistency level, easy for me to say, has not been that good. He's had his moments where he's looked great, and he's had moments where he's looked awful.
Yeah.
And you really don't need that up and down. I was fine. And for the money that he's going to command, because if you lost out on the big three, I guess, if you say, well, Mike Riley was pretty much he was going to BC. But Bo Levi or Trevor Harris, you're going to have to pay for that next guy. And I don't know that Jennings is going to be worth the money that he's getting paid. We'll see. but I'm not a big fan. I'm not overly disappointed he's not here.
It comes down now to finding talent. That's up to Jeremy O'Day, Paul Jones, and the scouting staff. Paul Jones is a guy that comes with a big resume and a lot of accomplishments from Edmonton, finding the Duke Williams and such over the years. So Darrell Walker. So let's see what he can do. Let's go to the text line brought to you by Prairie Mobile. Zinger, you got a couple of texts?
Brian from Hudson Bay. He goes, really, Ballsy, lick Dorito dust off someone's fingers? How gross is that, and where did you come up with that bet?
I just came up with the bets. Because I'm in radio and I have no money, so you got to come up with something. And, you know, on The Wolf, we do a little bit of strange things. And I fulfilled the bet. It's Ballsy, and I do what I say I'm going to do.
He's Ballsy, and he does what he says, Brian.
Yeah.
And we got Derek. All right, let's go back to the Riders here. Derek says, O'Day is doing great. Fans need to... R-E-L-A-X, relax. Yeah. That's a good old Aaron Rodgers theme. Yeah. And then he goes, Kolaris is a good quarterback and he's only 30. Yes, our defense won some games last year, but we still win 10 games with Kolaris under center. If he can stay healthy, he will have a good year. Everyone needs to relax. Most of the fans flying off the handle have no clue anyway.
Well, I think the fans are warranted for this reason. And thanks for the text, and thanks, Zinger, and we'll check in with you later. 936-6262 is the number to text, and that's the number to call locally. 1-866-767-0620, long-distance number. We love to hear from you. Now, just quickly before we go to break, I don't necessarily disagree with the texter, but, you know, fans are concerned about the health. If Kolaris goes down... who do we got? Where are we going? That's the big conundrum. Because when he's healthy, he's Trevor Harris. We've got Trevor Harris at a discount if he stays healthy.
Well, I think he's better than Trevor Harris if he stays healthy. I mean, he was as good as anybody in the league prior to him running into his injuries history with the knee injury, with the concussions. And that is a concern, but saw his interview today and he says he's fine, had no intentions of retiring, said it never really crossed his mind. So he feels he's healthy, that he's good to go. And if he feels that there's no issues and he's fine, I don't have a problem with it. And I said, I would rather take him, and based on what he's done, when he's been healthy, he's been good, if not great, at a better deal than what some of the, you know, especially like when you get the Jonathan Jennings app and all that kind of thing. Because you're going to have to spend your money. There's still free agents out there. We have to find some people to fill some spots.
All right, and we'll get more from Bob Krawczyk because I want to ask him about quarterbacking. And should we put a quarterback cap in this league for salaries? Let's talk about that and much, much more. On the other side, we'll hear from Micah Johnson and Zach Kolaris. This is a Mako Hockey Wednesday on 620 CKRM. And it is a Wednesday inside the cage, a Hockey Wednesday here for Mako. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako. Go see Alan Mann and the gang over there. Mako and Regina, they're doing great work here. And I imagine this weather, they call it pennies from heaven. There's a lot of accidents this morning. People, they forget how to drive in the winter. It's like we're Vancouver and it snowed for the first time.
It's very slick out there and you can see people are barely, you know, avoiding other vehicles. Or I like everybody that drives like it's the middle of summer.
Yeah.
And I'll just hit the brakes right now. Yeah. See ya.
I got my son's Nissan Sentra fixed, 2005, and I got the winter tires on. So I'm just driving it around just to test out, make sure everything's good. So I'm going like old high school now. It's like I'm driving my little car. So I had an SUV, which he's driving, and it takes you more time to stop in the little car. So little test there for me. Bob Krawczyk sitting in the co-host seat. I'm Ballsy. We're welcoming your calls in the Wheaton Kia hotline, 936-6262 in town. Toll-free out of town at 1-866-767-0620. And... it was pointed out to me that we got our pizza, our Western pizza in the back, courtesy of our friends there at Western Pizza. The Pats are having their Have a Heart night tonight, raising money for the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Remember that. They're going to be out between 6 and 8 at various Western Pizza locations. Good on them for their community service. But Barney Shankaruk, our sales guy, brought the pizza back there. So thanks, Barney. I did get my customary one or two pieces.
Hi, Barney.
And he used to work with you.
We used to work at, he was in Global Saskatoon.
Yeah, that's right, Global Saskatoon. But you guys were teammates. You were teammates.
Yes, we're all part of the Global family.
The Global family, yes. So Barney is making a lot more than he did.
Yes, he is. And I could say that without been out of it for over a decade. Yeah, I still know he's making more.
Barney could empty out his couch and buy pizzas all week for us.
You just have to empty out the couch just to buy Itchy Band.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Anyway, we're taking your calls on everything going on in sports. And let's we're going to get to Micah Johnson in a second. You look around the CFL today. We got Daron Carter going to the Lions. Jonathan Jennings going to the Red Blacks. Darrell Walker is meeting with the Argos, but the Riders very much in the mix. Apparently the Winnipeg Blue Bombers too. He wants $275,000. That's the one thing the Rough Riders lack, though. They lack weaponry in the receiving core. William Powell is a nice signing because, of course, Trey Mason not coming back. Suffered that Achilles injury at the end of the season. So you got he and Thigpen in the backfield. Cam Marshall is a free agent. Maybe they'll sign him as we go along in free agency. I like Cam Marshall. Good, well-rounded football player. The game that sticks out in my mind last year was the one where they beat Calgary in Calgary with his blocking assignments, the way he ran hard between the tackles, out of the backfield catching the ball.
He was a great pickup at the end of the year for the Riders, and he's throughout his CFL career, he's shown that he can run the football, and we'll see, I guess, if he needs a job and there's some extra cash lying around. You can never have, you know, too many running backs, and it's always good to have, you know, some insurance around, and that's a big thing about it, too. I mean, you get all these free agents, and it's all the, you know, the high-priced signings and everything, but you got to have depth guys, and these guys get hurt. You got to have somebody behind them. So it's not all about just it's nice to have the big names and everything, and they're obviously a big part of your team.
Yeah.
But you've got to have the depth guys, and you've got to prepare yourself for injuries.
I'm going to bring up a scenario for you that I've heard from a few fans, not from me, but from a few fans, and I want to get your opinion on it. But right now one of the guys working behind the scenes, he's our news director, and he's been on this show, and he will be on this show, I believe, tomorrow. One of the hardworking guys in the show business, as we like to say, is Mitchell Blair. And Scruffy was down at Mosaic Stadium this afternoon for the press conference, and he had his mic in there and asked a few questions of Micah Johnson. We'll roll that now.
I just decisions just for the family, basically. I think you know, as a player, as an athlete, you know, you just dream of the time that you can, you know, perform and feel like your values meeting your performance, so they're aligning. And I felt like Saskatchewan gave me a great opportunity. Really felt like they wanted me here. Really felt like they felt like I'd be a valuable piece to them. And I think that was one of the big factors. And it's next level here. And I think when you're playing for other teams and, you know, when you come out here to play, you feel the energy, you feel the difference from the fans in a lot of ways too. So that was intriguing to me as well, to be a part of that too. I think it definitely wasn't easy. I mean, I felt like I had, you know, my teammates, you know, I made great relationships with the coaches, you know, in that community. I don't think it was an easy choice, but you know, it's a business, and sometimes, you know, a lot of the times decisions aren't easy.
There's quite a rivalry between these two teams. How different is it going to be for you being on the other side of the rivalry?
It's a crazy feeling. You know, it's a different feeling. I'm just excited to, you know, bring what I can to this team, bring my energy, bring my style of play to the team and to the city. That's what I'm really excited about.
Situation that you're in now, have you reached out to Charleston to ask him what it's like being here after being in Calgary for so long?
Yeah, me and Charleston talk all the time. We talk all throughout the season. We were in constant communication at all times. So I think when this opportunity kind of presented itself on free agency day, I mean, that was definitely a factor. You know, we're close. Our family is close. Our families communicate with each other outside of football. So, yeah.
Micah, there's been some pretty good salaries going on in the last couple of days in the CFL. What do you think is the money that's being spent on players?
I mean, I think it's good. I think a lot of times people don't understand how much hard work is put in, how much sacrificing, constantly leaving your family, coming across the borders. It's just a lot of different things. So when you start seeing players get paid the way they're getting paid, you start seeing, you know, players be excited about the money they're getting paid. I think that's a big thing, because I think if you have guys in the room that are, you know, they feel like they're being valued, and, you know, they feel like there's a lot that the team finds them worthy, in essence, you know, to pay them, I think you have guys playing a lot harder.
How much did money pay a role in the decision?
I can't say that money didn't play a factor in the decision. I mean, we're human, and I mean, we're not in the NFL, so it's not like we're getting millions of dollars. So, you know, money does factor into things. Definitely.
So Micah Johnson, the newest member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the highest paid defender in the Canadian Football League. And as Bob Krawczyk pointed out, 14 sacks last year from an interior spot on the defensive line. You know, there's a few intriguing guys out there still defensively. You know, the Riders lose Aguavin in that linebacking core. They still got Moncrief and they've got Cam Judge and Sam Hurl. You know, among the 50 best players, apparently, that are still out there, Chris Ackey from the Ottawa Red Blacks is out there. He might be an interesting signing. A.C. Leonard, defensive end from Ottawa, still out there, a guy with ties to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Went to Ottawa from here in free agency. And that's the thing when you see the shorter contracts now, because you might lose a guy and he may be back a year later.
That's exactly it. Absolutely. Otha Foster, who was here, maybe out of favor now because they spent a lot of money. He's a former BC Lion. He's in free agency, a guy that was here. There's a guy that maybe you look at too. I don't know if they're looking that way, and depending on, you know, that's the thing. You don't go after the big money guy, but then you can spread your pesos around other places, right?
Well, you need to have those guys that fill in at those medium salaries, because if you look at just, you know, we'll use Mike Riley, $725,000 a year. Well, you're going to need some $60,000 players to fill out not only your special teams, but to actually start for you, because there's only so much money to go around. So when you start getting into, you know, we're past day two now, but into day three, day four next week, you know, the price is going to come down. Some guys are going to still be looking for jobs, and that's where you maybe get that steal of a deal that, you know, it doesn't, you know, doesn't flash on a billboard for you or is number one on the sports show, but it's very effective into how you build your football team.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Should we be capping quarterback salaries? Bear with me here for a second. Bo Levi Mitchell's arguably the best quarterback in this league, okay? He went to the NFL to 8-9 camps, didn't like what he saw in terms of his potential for actually getting on the field, so that played into it. He comes back here. He leaves money on the table in Toronto to the tune of $500,000 over the life of the deal. To stay in Calgary, that's fine. Why are we paying these guys $700,000? They're not going anywhere. The AAF ain't paying them. The Arena League's not paying them. The XFL's not going to pay him that kind of money, and they're not making the NFL. Why are we spending $700,000 on a quarterback for a team that draws flies? Like, it doesn't make sense. We should be capping that position. If you're playing in our league, you can be the highest paid guy, because the quarterback should be the highest paid guy. Why are we paying him any more than $400,000? Why? It's ridiculous.
They are the marquee guys and they sell the league. And as you well know, if you don't have a good quarterback, you can't win. Now, if you're going to pay these guys this type of money under a total salary cap, which again,
we don't know
what it's going to be this year. Just base it off of what's been happening in past years. $5.2 million.
Yeah.
Might it go to 5.5?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. It probably won't go down. It'll go up.
You're probably going to be playing in that general ballpark, but you need quarterbacks to win in this league, or not to necessarily win, but by win, I mean like win Grey Cups.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to, you can pretty have, you know, you can get through with somebody. It's 9-9. I mean, six out of nine make the playoffs. Right.
Right.
So
it's
not that hard. So your teams have to make their decisions. And when Chris Jones was here, Chris Jones was a guy that wasn't going to pay that kind of money. He goes, let's piece something together here for, you know, get two quarterbacks for $700,000. And that's a good way to do it. And if there's enough quarterbacks to go around, that's not a problem. But if teams feel that's what they need to do to win under the constraints of an overall salary cap, I think if the quarterbacks were separate from the salary cap, then that's a whole different ball game. But I think whatever you do under the salary cap, you do it under the salary cap, and you have to make business decisions.
So you're paying a guy $700,000. Is he seven more times valuable than the guy blocking for him, than his left tackle? Is he seven times more valuable?
Those are the decisions you have to make, though, right?
But what I don't understand is, they're not, this is what I'm trying to say. I get what you're saying. You're right. You got to win. I agree with that. And they should be the highest paid guy. But they're not going anywhere. Why are we spending $700,000? It makes no sense. You think Mike Riley would say, okay, that's it, I quit. Mike Riley is going to play for $400,000. Because what is he going to do? What is he going to do in the real world where he's going to make – it's not like the Baltimore Ravens are saying, you know, we don't like Lamar Jackson. Mike Riley, why don't you come down? Once again, Bo Levi Mitchell was the best quarterback in this league, age-wise and everything. He brought the most to the table for NFL teams, and he's back in the CFL. So why are we spending so much money on quarterback? I say they should cap it. 400,000, 500 tops, and that's even a little high. Where are they going? They're not going anywhere.
Well, that's a decision that they can make with the collective bargaining agreement coming up. And if you look at the CFL Players Association, they're going, okay, here's our cap. Well, the quarterbacks are taking a good chunk of it, and we have to have a bunch of other guys making near the minimum or the minimum so we can field the team. So would it be up to them to say, okay, we're going to make the highest paid player under the cap, okay, we use $400,000.
Yeah.
And then that way the wealth can get spread around.
Right, then you
players.
Bump up the minimum salary. So maybe we can attract some of these Americans to come here, because right now if this AAF takes off, they're getting a $70,000 minimum to start American. You think they're going to want to come to Canada to play for 54 Canadian to start, minus the exchange rate and the taxes, to put their body on the line? They stay in the States, play 10 games, make $70,000. They got to look at spreading the wealth around. I'm sorry, but I'm a $700,000 quarterback thrown to a $62,000 receiver. I get the NFL, it's $25 million.
Oh, that's a different
one. But it's the same thing. Like $25 million for the quarterback, $4 million for the wide receiver. But the receiver's still making $4 million. He's not making $60,000 compared to $700,000. It's out of whack. It's out of whack.
Well, I mean, if you're going to rise the tide, right? Can you somehow do that where your minimum salaries go up? Because that's where a lot of the guys, the players are making. There's not a lot of people making it. We're throwing out $250,000. Even position players, $200,000, $250,000. You know, Darrell Walker wants $275,000. Well, that starts adding up quick. You look at Edmonton, for example, between Trevor Harris, Craig Ellingson, and Larry Dean. They got three guys making $1 million.
I know. It's unreal.
So who's playing at the bottom of that? At the bottom of that depth chart?
Riders re-signed Zach Kolaris. We're going to hear from him on the other side. You're listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. And this is your Afternoon Rush, brought to you by Boston Pizza. It's the big rib deal at Boston Pizza. Get a full rack of their pork back ribs for just $19.99. Boston Pizza, gather around. Let's get to some other sports. Oilers are at Pittsburgh, Vancouver at Anaheim, and Bob Murray makes his coaching debut there with the Ducks. Pats are out tonight with Western Pizza. Have a heart night, as they're going to be there for the Heart and Stroke Foundation, so make sure you help out there. Also, Wizards taking on the Raptors. Raptors looking for a season sweep there. They're going to rest Kawhi Leonard. They've also signed Jeremy Lin, so Lin's sanity now with the Toronto Raptors. Also, the world of sports, Joe Flacco traded from the Ravens to the Broncos for a fourth-round pick, and now they're shopping Case Keenum. Daron Carter signing with the BC Lions. John Jennings with the Ottawa Redblacks. The Riders held court down at Mosaic Stadium. Our Mitchell Blair was on the scene, and he caught up with Zach Kolaris.
Zach, I guess the million-dollar question. The last time we saw you, you weren't able to play against Winnipeg. There was some concern about your health, your future. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I'm excited to be back here today, back in this province, you know, back in the facility, being around some of the coaches and J.O. It's just good to be back in town and excited to get to work.
Are you surprised to be back? Because I think a lot of people thought you wouldn't be because of the season you had, your health. Obviously, there was talk about the other quarterbacks. Are you surprised to be back here?
I'm not surprised. I talked to Coach Dickinson several times throughout the offseason after he got the job, and he mentioned to me how he felt about me, and this is a place that I really enjoyed playing at last year, regardless of some of the outcomes and things. Had a blast, and we had a great season, and again, just really looking forward to getting back here.
You obviously... I don't think it can be argued that it was a disappointing season for you as far as interceptions, touchdowns. Do you feel you have some unfinished business here to take care of or not?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think you want to improve every single season. From a statistical touchdown interception ratio, I don't think I'm going to get up here and defend myself on that. You'd have to go back and watch film and figure out things that were going on in games. And Again, all that really matters, though, you know, is wins, and we were able to win a lot of games last year, and we're going to do that again this year.
Given what the two concussions last season and that sort of thing, there's a lot of concern about your health. Did you consider retirement? Who did you talk to about perhaps implications of
that? Yeah, I mean, it's understandable that there'd be some worry about that. I took a bad hit in the preseason in a situation I shouldn't have been in the game in the first place. And then took a bad one there in week 20 or whatever week that was. There's a lot of time in between those. Did retirement cross my mind after the season? I would say not very much because, again, about a week after that final game, I was feeling pretty good again and haven't had any issues since. So I love this game. I'm a competitive person, and I just want to get back out there and play. So my retirement wasn't on my mind.
Did you change your regime having you coming back to favorite somebody?
I love Coach Dickinson, and I have a good relationship with him and J.O. as well. Definitely played a factor. And again, this is just a place that I think I said it last year to you guys a lot of times. There's nothing like playing football here in this province. And, an opportunity to come back here and do that again when it presented itself, it was just too good to pass up.
What's the deal? Are you getting married? Are you signing up for this?
Oh, you put me on the spot. Oh, I got to go marriage. Yeah. I love the Rider fans, man, but yeah, it's close though.
Do you have any other options with other teams calling?
There were a couple other teams calling there after everything kind of sorted itself out yesterday. But again, with the people here, some familiarity in the building, a chance to build some continuity on the offensive side of the ball as well. And again, just the plan that J.O. And Coach Dickinson had laid out, again, when the opportunity presented itself, it was just too good to pass up on.
So many quarterbacks didn't play this free agency. Yeah. Were you concerned about all the movement around the league and where you might end up?
I think concern is the wrong word. There was a lot of guys on the open market, and I think, once the first domino, so to speak, fell with Mike deciding to go to BC, I knew I'd have to sit back and wait to see what was available. And so, concern is probably the wrong word. Just was curious to see what their decisions would be and what would be left out there.
Looking back at last season, can you put a finger on why this offense struggled the way it did, whether it was with you in there, with Brandon in there, just not being able to get the ball in the end zone?
I don't want to really get into discussing all those things, try to keep that stuff in-house. It'd be a better question for Coach McAdoo, obviously. All I can really control is what I do and my play. And was it up to the standard that I want to be at from a statistical standpoint last year? No. But again, my job is to go out there and manage games and try to win games for this club. And do I want to throw 40 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, 10 interceptions, of course. And that's what you strive to do, but at the same time, there's moments or situations in games where you don't have to take this chance. You don't have to push the ball downfield. Maybe we hand the ball off 25 times, right? So we always seem to be morphing a bit last year on offense, given we had a lot of rookie receivers, rookie left tackle, rookie running back, and a lot of moving parts, especially after training camp with all of our receivers kind of disappearing there. So it was a tough season to try to build some continuity, but again, I can just control what I can control, and that's do my best to lead this team.
That is Zach Kolaris back in the fold for the Saskatchewan Roughriders on a 1-year, I'm assuming, incentive-laden deal that will be nowhere near his $435 he earned here last year. When we come back, we'll get some more thoughts from our co-host Bob Krawcheck on that. And other things related to the Rough Riders, we're also going to hear from the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, our WHL insider. We're going to talk about favorite radio calls in this World Radio Day. I'll get one maybe or two from Bob Krawcheck if he can remember, because him and I are old.
A long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. When we come back, we'll get to that and some texts with our producer Zinger on the Prairie Mobile text line. You're listening to the Sports Cage for Mako on this Hockey Wednesday here on 620 CKRM. And it is a Mako Hockey Wednesday. If you've had an oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako. We're mixing in some football as well. We'll get to more hockey in a minute as Kelly Rempel, our WHL insider, is going to join us here on the Wheat and Kia Hotline. This February, get the new Forte for only $12.99 during their Month of Love event over at Wheat and Kia. Go see them. They're a great gang over there. And also, if you've missed any portion of the show, Sports Cage On Demand, it's our podcast for the Canadian Brewhouse. Download the Canadian Brewhouse app for free. For free food and collect points for Brewbucks that you can spend anytime. Bob Krawczyk in the co-host chair. I'm Ballsy here, sitting in once again today. Wherever you're listening, thanks for making us part of your hump day here. Now, before we get to Kelly Rempel, we heard from Zach Kolaros. You know, the more I think about it, the more it's the injury, it's the fact, you know, concussion problems. Before that, he had a knee issue with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. It's injuries that kind of make me a little leery. But if he can stay healthy, I like it. He knows the system. You know, and I think he gets a bad rap. He came here, as you correctly mentioned, they won 12 games with him as the starting quarterback. He was 10-4 as a starter with this team. Didn't blow anybody's doors off. But you have to remember, when he came to training camp, he thought he was going to be thrown to Daron Carter, Chad Owens, Bakari Grant, Rob Bagg.
A lot changed.
And all of them were gone. Yep. Then he got hurt in preseason, so he never did get on track. Then when he got on track, he was handcuffed by a lack of weapons and a coaching philosophy for Chris Jones that didn't allow him to really do what Zach Kolaros likes to do. It was more protect the ball and be advantageous with what our defense sets you up with. And I think the same thing goes for Stephen McAdoo. Those are the two wild cards. What can Stephen McAdoo and Zach Kolaros do with a fresh set all season, no Chris Jones in the mix?
That was the thing that was concerning to me, was when they signed him again, was the injury thing. But I guess he's had a bit of a track record with the concussions, so that makes it a little bit more than a one-off where, you know, he might, you know, injure an ankle or something like that. So that's the concerning part, but he's got the skills, and it's not like he's 38. He's 30 years old.
Right.
He's proven in this league before that he can be a great quarterback. And it's just, can he stay healthy? I think if he stays healthy, he's familiar with the system. I would like to think, as you mentioned, he's going to get off to a better start this year and not get injured early. And, you know, we'll see what they bring for weapons. Right now, it's looking a little sparse at the wide receiver position.
It's early, though.
But it's February.
Yes.
And I always, you know, people go, well, we didn't sign this free agent or that free agent went somewhere else. But there's always a guy or two or three or four that get signed. Oh, the Riders signed Joe Smith today.
Well, they've got.
And nobody knows who Joe Smith is. And the next thing you know, Joe Smith has caught 10 touchdown passes.
Jordan Williams Lambert. Jordan Williams Lambert.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So there's always those guys that come in that nobody really knows about. And all of a sudden, well, hey, he's pretty good. Like Kyron Moore.
Yeah, they're happy. He's on the roster. They're happy with KD Cannon. They're happy with Shaq Evans. I thought he was good at times learning on the fly. But that's the thing. Calgary brings a lot. Like, Kamar Jordan didn't cut the Calgary roster for a couple of years. He was able to work his way through the system. The Riders got rid of all their guys, so they had to learn on the fly offensively. And so Shaq Evans, with some more experience under his belt, some tutelage all season from Rob Bagg, who's still looking for a job. You know, that's going to help, I think. KD Cannon's a speedster. Kyron Moore, you mentioned. And Paul Jones, I think he'll show his value here in the offseason. But you mentioned free agents, Bob. Let's take a look at some intriguing guys that they could go after. Darrell Walker wants a lot of cash. He's in Toronto right now. Jim Popp's going to do everything that he can to stop Darrell Walker from leaving. Last I heard, and this is very fluid, he's still a free agent. He'd be at the top of the list in terms of receivers. How about Chris Matthews? Former Bomber, went to the Super Bowl, played with the Seahawks. He was in that infamous game where Malcolm Butler picked it off.
The pick at the goal line.
He actually made a couple of big catches in that game. He was with Calgary last year at the end of the year. He's a big, lanky receiver. He'd be an intriguing choice. Also as a receiver, Manny Arsenault, but he's...
I think he's getting a little up there, and he's had some injury trouble, so I don't know that would necessarily be my first. Let's put it this way. I would take Naaman Roosevelt back over Manny Arsenault.
And they've offered him a contract. How about Weston Dressler? He's out there. Would you bring Weston back? When he was in the lineup, Winnipeg was a winner.
Weston's been getting hurt a lot, though, over the last few years, too, and he's getting up in age, and I understand now that 34 is not what it used to be back in the day where you were on the other side of 30, you were done. So I'm not going to sit here
for quarterbacks. The other way, it's still that way. The other way.
Offensive linemen and quarterbacks, we can go high. But so I'm not going to sit here for a second and say he's done. Would he come at probably a reduced rate? That's what he made before. Mm-hmm. But he kind of falls to the Zach Collaros part two, where you kind of worry about injuries because he's been getting banged up a lot over the
years. Chris Williams is getting a little long in the tooth, but he's still got some jets. He's out there. And Vidal Hazelton, the tall receiver out of Edmonton,
who is a very good receiver, yeah, and he did exceptionally well for Edmonton. And he's got that size. And, you know, we've got, like, some of these guys are a little shorter that we have, like KD Cannon, Kyron Moore. Yeah. But Vidal Hazelton would certainly be a nice fit.
So that so there is some bargain basement shopping you can find. We're far from over. We're only into day two here, wrapping up day two. So I wouldn't panic yet. And like you said, we got a whole offseason to make some trades yet, too. So, you know, here's the thing. Back to Zach Collaros for a second. Bo Levi Mitchell was never coming here. As much as I thought maybe we had a chance, he wasn't coming here. He was using the Riders and the Argos to position
himself.
Let's
put it this way. He took less money to go back to Calgary, so that probably gives you a pretty good idea.
Mike Riley was never coming here.
No.
I don't think Travis Lule is going to come here, although the Riders say they're in contact with two veteran quarterbacks. I say it's Lule and Kevin Glenn. I don't mind a Zach Collaros, Kevin Glenn combination. I don't. If Kevin Glenn was quarterbacking this team last year, we would have played in the Grey Cup. I really believe that. He had 28 touchdown passes himself last year.
If Kevin Glenn plays exactly how much he played for Edmonton last year, that would be fantastic, because that means Zach Collaros is playing 18 games.
There's a very good point, my friend. Good astute point there. Hey, let's head out in the Wheaton Kia hotline. Say hi to our friend, the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, our WHL insider. How are you today, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Ballsy. How are you?
Doing good. Bob Krawczyk also in here. You know Bob, that good-looking, suave, young-looking guy.
I saw him at the airport 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
okay.
Where did you see?
I'm sure that was you. It was at a distance, though.
I'm assuming this is in Mexico.
Yeah, we were looked like we were coming back from Cancun at the same.
Oh, that would have been me.
Oh, look,
a few weeks ago. Go.
Look at you guys, Jetson.
Wow, Christmas. Both, it's a little warm.
We're both a lot more silver, though, than the last time we actually talked in person.
Okay, Kelly, before we get to the WHL talk and hockey talk, how about we chat about your thoughts on what went down in Rider Nation yesterday, because you are a Rider fan, too, big time.
Well, you know what? I think that it's obviously understandable to some degree, Mike, where, you know, that people are concerned. We knew coming into the off season that the number one priority was to sign a quarterback, and you know, we all crossed our fingers and toes that it would be a significant signing. And I know that it was probably a little bit of a pipe dream to get a Bo Levi Mitchell. I certainly didn't think that was going to happen. And even Mike Riley was a bit of a stretch. But when the Andrew Harris's and, you know, I mean, now Jennings out of the running. I mean, I do understand why people are concerned. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't quite understand just the absolute panic that's going on with some of the fans either. I think you kind of need to let things play out and, you know, see how, you know, they're going to, you know, unfold before you tie yourself to a rock and jump off a bridge. But it does make some sense to me as to why people are concerned. I mean, they didn't address the number one issue. I mean, they re-signed Zach Collaros, but I don't think that was on a lot of wish lists for many people. I actually agree with something you said a moment ago, though. I don't have a problem with Zach Collaros being the quarterback of the team, providing that there's a suitable backup or somebody there that can play. Brendan Bridge can't play. So every time you put the ball in his hands, you know, for whatever reason, and I don't even blame the team for this because I didn't see it coming either. I'm just shocked at how he regressed last year. But I don't think he's the answer. So I don't know what the options are. I don't see a Travis Lule coming here either. So what, you know, is that where we're at, though, Mike? I know you're excited about this Kevin Glenn, but I don't see what you're seeing. I mean, how old is he now, 47?
42. He's 42, I think. 42 years old, right around there, I think. Or
Kevin Glenn?
Yeah, what is he?
I think he's 40.
Is he 40?
Yeah, I don't think, he's...
Well, hey, he didn't...
I'm being facetious, and I shouldn't do that. But,
hey, I'm gonna tell you something. If we're drawing a car analogy, he sat in the driveway all year last year with a tarp over him. So maybe we can take him out for one more spin.
Well, we're... might have to do that. I guess the only thing that concerns me is that, and I don't know if you guys are agreeing with me or you think I'm crazy, but I just think that, you know, you talk about your cars. The mileage, though, is not the same between 28 and 29. It's not much different between, you know, 29 and 30. But when you start getting into the 40s, I'm not sure that you can still just take the tarp off and think that because it didn't get ridden last year that it's going to perform, you know, the same way. I just, there at some point, I think you just say, okay, really, is that really what we're going to do here? Is we're going to bring Kevin Glenn back again? Yeah. But they may not have a choice. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I looked at the car in the driveway. I thought it was a 76, but it's a 79. He's only 39 years old. So, hey, I don't want to age him any more than he is.
Don't want to be shortchanging people. Absolutely.
That's right. Okay. I couldn't tell from under the tarp what age it was, but he's 39.
Because I look 56, maybe I should just shut up.
Okay. So, Kelly, let's get to some hockey talk. Let's go with this angle today, okay? It's World Radio Day. We're all sports fans, me, you, and Bob here. I'll start with you, Kelly. You have a favorite radio call, one that is vivid in your memory for a sports radio call?
You know, I don't know if I can narrow it down to one, but when I think about that, you know, I always go back to being a kid because for some reason or another, I have more vivid memories of radio calls when I was probably in elementary school, you know, than I do as an adult. Mostly because I think now I go to the Rider games or I watch them on TV as an example, or I go to the Warrior games or the Pats games. But when I was a kid, of course, when you're, you know, 10 or 12 or 13 or whatever years old, you know, you don't have access to as much of that. So I think back to different things. I remember as a Rider fan, I remember it's almost seemed like Dave Ridgway always enters my mind. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a game against Hamilton where the lights went out.
Yeah.
And there was one play left in the game, and that was a kick to win it. And it was he was either going to kick it, make it, or he was going to kick it, and they were going to lose. And power goes out just before he makes the kick. And I remember I sat there at 10 or 11 years old or whatever for an hour waiting for one kick. And when he made that kick, I remember I was so excited. There's another one, and I don't have these dates right off the top of my head, but I want to say – it was like 1983, and Ken Clark ended up having to come in with, I don't know, 30 seconds or something left in the game, and he had to kick a 41 or 42-yard field goal because Dave Ridgway, I think he pulled his hamstring or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Labor Day, packed house at, you know, Taylor Field, and Ken Clark, the punter. I mean, 41 yards is not a gimme for a guy that doesn't do it all the time.
Especially if you're a Vikings kicker. Anyways, go ahead.
Whoa, easy there.
Yeah, I know. Bob, give him a slap in the head for me. Well,
yeah, I'm moving over there right now.
We got a Charger fan soaring us. Can you believe that?
Yeah, a Charger fan soaring. Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember, did you see my Ridgeway? Keeps coming into my mind, and interestingly enough, not to take this in a totally different direction, but funny enough, the first time I ever met Dave Ridgway was at a CFL, we were doing a work with the Riders, and I was at CTV in sales, and he was doing a Burger Baron commercial,
mm-hmm.
and I actually sat with Ridgway that day in October of 95, listening to the O.J. Simpson decision. And I remember there was me and Ridgway, and we literally stopped the commercial shoot, and everybody stood around the tiny little radio, including the cooks. Everybody stopped what they were doing, and when they said not guilty, there was just this collective, I won't even yell what people were yelling. It was not good.
Not good. One writer one I remember was Jeff Currier's call of the 1989 West semifinal when Brian Walling ran for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I was driving back with my family from Winnipeg on a very cold November night. That was a great call with Carm and Jeff. By the way, we're going to have Duke Ellingson on the show just after 6. He was a slot back number 85 in that game because there was injuries to Elgard and Fairholm, and he played a significant role in helping the Riders get to the West Final that they eventually won, beating the 16-2 Edmonton Eskimos. Anything
Isn't
else?
Interesting, though. Just one quick thing.
Yep.
Brian Walling, right? isn't it interesting how all these years later you say a name like Brian Walling or Mark Guy?
Yeah.
And people immediately, they go right back to 1989. Those guys had like one or two plays, but they were such big plays that they'll be stapled in the minds of Rider fans forever for like a month of football.
That's what happens when you only win four championships in over 100 years. Those memories stick with you. Hey, Kelly, we got to be rolling along here. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day, and we'd love to have you on again, okay?
Well, we didn't even get into the Kevin Gallant, Rob Kearney story. We'll do that another time.
Once they announce Kevin Glenn signing, which I'm thinking is going to happen, then you and I will talk. We'll have you on again to bring that up. I'll make sure we bring that up, okay?
Sounds good.
Take care, Kelly. All right. When we come back, we're going to hear from Brian Munns, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN 1290 in Winnipeg. He'll join us in the Wheaton Kia Hotline. This is a Mako Hockey Wednesday on 620 CKRM. And this is our Sports Gauge Sports Ticker for our friends over there at RMP, Regina Motor Products. The 2018 truck clear out is on now, but only until February 28th at RMP. Yeah, NHL, two games on the ice tonight on this Mako Hockey Wednesday. It is Edmonton at Pittsburgh and Vancouver on the road in Anaheim. Bob Murray makes his debut there. Nikolaj Ehlers out for at least two more weeks, a little bit of a setback in his recovery. But 1 to 2 weeks there for Winnipeg with lower body injury. David Pastrnak of the Bruins is going to be out for at least 2 weeks. He slipped at a sponsor's dinner. I don't know what happened there, but anyway. Joe Flacco traded to the Broncos by the Ravens in the NFL for a fourth-round pick, and now they're shopping Case Keenum. The Wizards are at the Raptors. Raptors trying to complete the season sweep of the Wizards, and they're resting Kawhi Leonard. They've signed Lynn. So Lynn Sanity, Jeremy Lynn, now a member of the Toronto Raptors. Daron Carter signing with the Lions, Jonathan Jennings with the Red Blacks, and Toby Antigua leaving the Riders to sign with the Argos. Time now to go out on our Wheaton Kia hotline and speak with our friend Brian Munns, the product of Humboldt, Saskatchewan, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN 1290. How are you today, Munzie?
I'm good, Ballsy. How are you?
Good. Bob Krawczyk also joining us here.
How
are you?
There is a legendary status of Saskatchewan sports.
I'm getting a lot of legend, which me equals old.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
So, World Radio Day, Brian Munns. What's your favorite radio moment? Either something you heard, been in the broadcast booth for. Can you pick one or two off the top of your head?
Favorite radio moment?
Yeah.
I guess. Selfishly, I would probably say my first NHL game. And in all honesty, I would probably also say my first SJHL game. Because when I was growing up, that was my NHL, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was with the Melfort Mustangs in Flin Flon. And you go up to the Whitney Forum and you have no idea what you're in for. And at that point, I'm only 19 years old.
And I hear exactly what you're saying.
Well, yeah, because Bobby, you were there before I was at CJBR, right? So we all kind of did the same thing. And literally, I had no idea what to expect. And, you know, hockey is so different now from what it was back then. And that was only the mid-90s. It's not like it was 40 years ago or anything like that. But, yeah, there were animal parts being thrown on the ice. The Mustangs won the game. I remember that. And I would probably say off the top of my head, those would be my two favorite games. Obviously, there's been I've been fortunate with some other highlights, but I would probably say right now, with really not thinking about it, those would be the top two so far.
Awesome. Brian Munns joining us on the Wheaton Kia Hotline, one of the voices of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN 1290 in the Peg. So your team's coming off a 4-3 victory over the New York Rangers. They've kind of righted the ship. They were stumbling a bit there, but they've righted the ship now. Shifley, two goals and a helper. What do the Jets need to push them over the top as we head to the NHL trade deadline?
Well, that's the million-dollar question right now, Ballsy, what everybody's talking about. And it was kind of intriguing. You talk about the Ranger game last night, and there were 15,000 general managers inside the building watching Kevin Hayes and wondering if he'd be able to fit in, because the Rangers were 9 points out of a playoff spot going into the game last night, and he's one of the names that's been talked about on the TSN trade bait board. So there's so many moving parts out there. I think if Kevin Cheveldayoff can get the right deal for another veteran forward, I think that's obvious right now that they feel that that might be able to put them over the top or at least contend with, because you can look at it two ways. You can say if they bring another veteran forward or maybe even two in, okay, so they're set. But then what do the San Jose Sharks do? What do the Nashville Predators do? What do the Tampa Bay Lightning do over in the Eastern Conference, who right now statistically and arguably are the best team in the National Hockey League? So, you know, while everybody's focused on this team right now in a span of a million people in the province of Manitoba, you can't forget about the other 30 teams out there that are trying to do the same thing too. So it's intriguing to watch. There's no question about it. Probably the funnest part about it right now is when you walk around the arena, either pregame or in the intermissions, and you see all the different NHL management types and scouts that are in the building, because everybody's trying to scour and find out exactly what the last piece of information they need on a certain player is going into the end of the month here.
I should have scheduled better. I love talking to you. We're up against the clock, so we have to go. But thanks for giving us some of your great SJHL memories. It jogged my memory of the Whitney Forum, too. That's a story for another day. We'll have you on again, Brian, maybe next week. Thanks for stopping in quickly, okay?
Flintflon's a whole show, fellas.
It's more than one show.
For sure. That's the great Brian Munns from TSN 1290 in Winnipeg joining us in the Wheaton Kia Hotline. We'll have more of the Sports Cage for Mako right after this. And it's Ballsy sitting in the big chair today. Thanks for tuning in to Sports Cage this Wednesday, brought to you by Mako. If you've had an 0-0 and want it perfect again, better get Mako. Go see Alan Mann and the great gang over there. Now, our Twitter feed brought to you by Molson, the Molson Bohemian, a smooth, delicious tasting beer with a rich Saskatchewan history. Available in 12 or 24 cans or cases. Please enjoy their product responsibly. And also want to let you know the numbers to call: 936-6262 in town, toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. Just give me a second here. I got a frog in my throat there. Got yeah, lots of talking here on a 2.5 hour talk show. Want to thank Bob Krawchuk for joining me as well, former global sports guy. Nice to finally work with him. He's a regular Wednesday contributor here on the show. The text line 2-936-6262, brought to you by Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Zinger, we've got a couple of quick texts before we get to our next guest.
Yeah, we got a couple strolling in here. We got, which one should I read? Jason from Belgoni says, would be happy with Kevin Glenn as backup. Also, John Gott, St. John, and is St. John a free agent?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And so is Gott, right. The guy who chugged the beer in Ottawa.
Where's that one?
He'd
I want?
He'd fit in well here, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
In Pill Country?
Yeah, in Pill Country. Maybe we can get him up into the stands.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
Bethel Thompson in Toronto available. I think he might be under contract with the Argos.
Yeah, yeah.
We got Ballsy. The reason Bo Levi and Mike Riley get $700K is there are two of them, and then there's nine teams, and they want them. Well,
I don't care. I want to address that. We'll get to maybe some more texts in a minute. Zinger, let's go to the Wheaton Kia Hotline and speak with James Duke Ellingson, who's on the Ottawa Red Blacks broadcast. If you're a longtime Rough Rider fan, you know that name. He wore number 85 for your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And we talked about you earlier, James, oddly enough. We were talking about how you were a key contributor in the 1989 playoff run. It's World Radio Day. And one of my favorite radio memories was listening to Jeff Currier and Carm Carteri call the West semifinal when Brian Walling took it to the house against Larry Kuharik and the Calgary Stampeders.
You are bringing back some amazing memories. First of all, it's great to be on with you guys, and to hear the call letter CKRM again brings me back to my very fond memories of my time in Regina. And, of course, the 89 Grey Cup and playoff run was something I will never forget. So really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I grew up watching you. Don't want to make you feel old, but I grew up watching you. So it's a pleasure talking to you. I know we've had you on our pregame show before. So let me ask you this. What's the most money Duke Ellingson made as a receiver for the Rough Riders?
Well, let me tell you, if I added it all up together for the 11 years that I played it, I don't think it hit the $700,000 mark, I'll put it that way. So, yeah, those numbers are a little bit in the stratosphere.
Let me ask
from what I made. I think the most, in all candor, the most I made, I was in Ottawa, I think it was 1992, and I think my salary at the time was 59,000.
And did that check bounce or cash?
Yeah. We used to have what we called the Rough Rider Grand Prix. We'd get our checks and everybody would race to the bank, yeah, get their check in first before the money ran out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Duke Ellingson, James Ellingson, joining us on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. Do you still get called Duke?
Every single day by every single person except my wife, and I'm not joking. It really has become my replacement for my real name. I hardly ever hear James anymore. It's quite something.
Did Elgard give you that?
He did. He was the one, my rookie year, my second year. He coined it, and I always said, you know, it could be a whole lot worse. You could be called a lot worse things, and it's Duck, and it's been kind of fun.
Okay, so let's talk about this first, because I brought it up with Bob Krawchuk, our co-host, who's now gone. It's just me and you, James, so make sure you carry the show, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so do you think there needs to be a salary cap on quarterbacks? Here's my argument, okay? I'm all for players making the most money they can because it's a meat market. There's no loyalty in sports. So I'm all for that, and I think the quarterback should be the highest paid guy. But why are we giving these guys $700,000? Bo Levi Mitchell's the best quarterback when you factor in his age, his resume, and whatever else. And he went to the NFL, bounced around 8 camps, didn't like what he saw, comes back to the CFL. There's a bidding war for him between the Argos, Riders, and Stamps, and he took less money to stay in Calgary. But he's not going anywhere. Mike Riley's not going anywhere. They're not going to the AAF. They're not going to the XFL. They're not going to the Arena League. Why are we paying these guys $700,000? To me, it's absolutely ludicrous.
You know, it's a fair question. And when you think about the CFL salary cap and what percentage of that salary it takes up, it does beg the question, couple things. I mean, there's a whole bunch of comments we could make and conversations that we could have about this. I mean, one of them is when you're the offensive lineman tasked with protecting this guy and you're making a tenth of what he is making and you're doing all the grunt work. I mean, sometimes there can be a little bit of that, you know, salary envy. Mm-hmm. When you think about the ability for some of the teams now to field really competitive rosters and bring in a bunch of other guys when you're so limited in your money, it can actually end up sometimes hampering your team's progress. And so, you know, I hadn't really thought of it before. I mean, I agree with you. I'm all for the fact that these guys are typically the faces of the league. They're the guys that people pay to see. And they really do, you know, handle the ball and really dictate, in this league especially, that if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win. And so I see that, and I see how teams can sometimes overpay. And this year has just been fascinating because I think we would all agree this is the most, I would call it cataclysmic offseason already that we've ever seen in the CFL, just in terms of not just the number of guys already signing with different teams, but the amount of money and the big-name players moving. And so it does start to, you know, make you question a little bit. Are we overpaying for guys, as you said, that aren't going to be jumping to a different league? But you can see why teams want to bring a guy like Mike Riley in, because they firmly believe if you have that in place, they can nickel and dime the guys around him and still be better off than not having him as a trigger man.
James Ellingson, the former Rough Rider, now on the Ottawa Red Blacks broadcast, joining us here in the Wheaton Kia Hotline here on a Mako Hockey Wednesday. But we are talking football because we're in the heartland of football. We got him for a few more minutes. What's going on in Ottawa? Rider fans are a little disgruntled. How about Ottawa fans? I mean, you lose Harris, you lose Ellingson, you lose Sir Vincent Rogers. William Powell comes to Saskatchewan. I know Desjardins did sign a lot of your guys on the offense and defensive side of the ball, kind of under the radar signings, which was preemptive before free agency. But what's the mood like in Ottawa? What's the strategy there, man?
Yeah, you know what? There are a lot of people with questions. I think there's a huge sense of disappointment. And it's not necessarily just disappointment in Marcel Desjardins. I think a lot of people feel, and I know it's business, and I'm not suggesting that I'm one of the people who feel this way, but there's an undercurrent in Ottawa right now of anger towards Trevor Harris, because when he was asked at the end of the season about his future, he made it really clear that he wanted to be an Ottawa Red Black. He wanted to win 3 Grey Cups here. This was home. And he didn't want to go anywhere, and he really intimated that it wasn't going to be about money. And when you see what Bo Levi Mitchell did, taking less to stay in Calgary, I think a lot of folks in Ottawa looked at the numbers and said, why would he just jump ship for the equivalent of whatever it's going to be, $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 a year after what he told us? And I think there's a real sense of, and betrayal may be too strong a word, but a real disappointment and anger there. I will say this about Marcel Desjardins. He reminds me a lot, and I'm not suggesting that he's had the same run of success or will have the same success as Bill Belichick in New England, but he's really got a mindset that he's not going to jump in and overpay and panic during the early days of free agency for guys. If they want to go, if they want to make the big bucks elsewhere, he will find a way to maneuver and manipulate the cap and find guys to replace them. He's never been about one or two guys making the difference. And so it didn't surprise me that he stood pat here. But again, I know there's a real sense of disappointment that Trevor Harris didn't not so much take a hometown discount, but that there wasn't more conversation. I feel like Marcel Desjardins didn't really get a chance to make a counteroffer.
My opinion, I'm lukewarm on Trevor Harris, but my question to you is, what do you think your quarterbacking situation now there with Dominique Davis and now Jonathan Jennings?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I'm with you about Trevor. He runs hot and cold. When he's on, he can be very, very good. But he's a guy that as soon as he gets interrupted in terms of time and space, he gets a little skittish and his accuracy can dip. And I'm not convinced that he's the kind of guy that can, you know, be like a Mike Riley or a Bo Levi and take the team to the promised land just strictly on his own ability. So, you know what? Dominique Davis, in the few times we've had a chance to see him in the last couple of years, he's been quite impressive, not just as a running quarterback for 1 yard at a time, but he has been pretty good. I like his athleticism, and he's been around the league a little bit now, so he's not a raw rookie. Jonathan Jennings is a real interesting one because, as we know, a couple of years ago, he had the 5,000-yard season, and it looked to be the next star in the CFL, and it seems like the last couple of years he's lost his desire. I know there's been a lot of talk about whether he really wants to put the work in that's required to be a top-flight quarterback, so maybe this is going to be a fresh start for him. But certainly they've gone from a guy that they really knew what they had in Trevor Harris to a couple of guys that are going to be works in progress.
I think Desjardins getting a little bit of the flack from Eugene Melnick in the way he's running his team because, you know, there's nobody that wants to stay in Ottawa. Duchesne, Stone, they're all going apparently, and nobody wants to play with the set. They can't get the ring figured out, and now they're pretty consistent football team has just dumped all their guys. So in Ottawa, if you're a sports fan, you're going, we have a beautiful city. Why doesn't anybody want to stay here?
No, it's a very, very good point. There's a bit of a sense of insecurity there because it does seem like nobody wants to come and stay in Ottawa. But you know, it's interesting. We had this conversation. You guys probably have too over the last couple of years when we talk about the dominance of the West in the CFL over the last decade or so, or maybe a bit more. Trying to figure out why. Why is it that the East doesn't seem to be able to catch up? Why is it that the West is just so typically strong? And I find it fascinating that Trevor Harris had made the comment about wanting to win championships. And I'll tell you what, by going to the West, you can make a pretty strong case right now that the top three quarterbacks in the league, by stats and by sort of, I guess, what everybody would agree, are the measurables, are in Calgary, Edmonton, and BC. And so Trevor Harris, I think he's put himself in a situation where his chances of getting to the playoffs, chances of getting a bye, chances of winning division, and chances of getting the Grey Cup have gone down significantly. And so I just find that really interesting how the West, it's just like an arms race, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But wow, it's going to be a gauntlet out there this year, more than maybe I've ever seen.
Well, we'd like to have you on in the future. We're up against the clock. Thanks for taking time out of your day to come on. It's always a pleasure talking to you, James.
I really enjoyed it, and you can call me anytime.
Okay, and can I call you Duke anytime, too?
You can call me Duke anytime.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Have a great night. Thanks again, guys.
Yeah, the Duke joining us on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. When we come back, we're going to wrap the show up by hearing from Jeremy O'Day as Mitchell Blair. Scruffy did some fine work catching up to him at Mosaic Stadium today. You're listening to the Sports Cage for Mako on 620 CKRM. And if you missed portions of this show and want to rehear it, Sports Cage On Demand, our podcast, brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Download the Canadian Brewhouse app for free food and collect points for Brew Bucks that you can spend anytime. I'm Ballsy here in the big chair. Mitchell Blair will be here tomorrow and Brendan McGuire and Bob Krawczyk on Friday. And wherever you're listening today, thanks for making us part of your day. Riders, of course, some signings in day one and into day two. Today they got a hold of Corey Watson yesterday. Of course, William Powell and Micah Johnson were their big signings along with Zach Kolaris. We heard from Micah Johnson and Zach Kolaris. Now it's time to hear from Jeremy O'Day, the general manager in his first free agency period. Mitchell Blair was down at Mosaic Stadium. These are the comments from Jeremy O'Day.
Can you start by telling us the negotiations and getting Zach Kolaris back and wanting to sell to the Yeah, so we just like we do with the entire roster, we'll evaluate our whole roster and look at free agents and who our free agents are and kind of make a list and an approach to how we're going to attack free agency. You know, we were pretty clear with Zach on what we were doing with that, and we were going to see we were going to look into free agency to see how it was going to shake down quarterback wise and see if that we were going to be in the mix. And then at that point, we had our quarterbacks ranked, who we wanted to get in order. And then once the time was right, we reached out to Zach and we got a deal done. I think, you know, anytime a player has concussions, there's always a concern for you. So it's not something that we say wouldn't be a concern. But we feel good about his recovery and where he's at right now, and feel reassured that you know, some of those concussions and those hits that he took last year, they would have been concussion hits for anyone that took those shots.
Feel you need insurance because of his season last year, and he can take another one of those at any time or not?
Yeah, I think we're you know, we're in discussions with a couple of veteran quarterbacks currently. It is something that we understand, and with any team, you're going to want to have a backup that you feel you can win with. So those discussions are ongoing.
Is Kevin one of those quarterbacks? And if he is and he's here, is there a competition for number one, or is Zach your number one quarterback going to come?
Well, first of all, Zach is our number one quarterback. He's going to come to camp as our number one quarterback, and we hope he has a great year. As far as who we're talking to and how we're talking to them, we're not going to start throwing out names of who we're talking to.
How were you from Toronto? Talked about how he missed out on other free agents
because
he'd been after
Bowie
for too long. Do you think he missed out on some potential opportunities because you keyed in too much on one quarterback?
Yeah, I think that when you're trying to get a free agent of that magnitude, you have to have, you know, different plans that you're ready to execute. So naturally, the concern there is the timing, and you know, if you're holding on to a salary of that significance, then the timing may cost you to lose players. I think in our situation, some of it worked out where it wasn't it didn't cost us very many players. I think you know, if you had to look back at it, maybe you could have been more aggressive with one or two other players that you had to kind of hold off on, and maybe you had a better shot at them, but there's no guarantee that you would have got them.
Disappointed you missed out on potentially Bo Levi, Mike Riley, or Trevor Harris?
You know, that's kind of free agency. You know, when you're kind of like you're creating a wish list, and there's a lot of positions that you're looking at, a lot of players that you wish out. Sometimes, you know, this one was heavily publicized, so everyone knew that it was what was happening. So, you know, I think you have a plan in place. You're never gonna get 100% of the guys that you want. It's not like you have a bunch of pieces that are sitting in a bowl and you just pull the pieces out. There has to be a mutual agreement. There has to be one on both sides. You have to want the player. They have to want to be here, and then it has to work financially.
Is Naaman Roosevelt on your wish list, or have you moved on?
We've been in discussions with Naaman. Those are ongoing.
How important is you to say Zach Claris is your number one quarterback today? Last year it started from the word go, we're going to have to engage in competition. How important is you to say he's the guy for this team?
Well, I think for the team in general, I think it's really important, just knowing who's going to be the guy going into camp. And, you know, I won't speak for Zach, but I think that's something that would weigh on your mind if you're going into camp, not knowing where you fit and what you think your role is going to be. So. It was important for us to talk about it. It was one of the questions that he asked when we were negotiating with him, and you know, that was wasn't my decision. It was who ultimately makes the decision would be Craig, and I agreed with him when he told me, and we're excited to move forward.
How hard did you go off the board with that? He mentioned there's one team that there's more money on the table than last year. Did you have any
team? Well, we made an offer. We made an offer, a significant offer. Just like I mentioned earlier, it's one of those situations where it has to be a mutual thing. They have to They have to want to leave the team they want. The offer has to fit, and they have to feel good about the team that they're going to. So I won't speak for anyone else, but we made a significant offer, and he decided to stay in Calgary.
Why didn't you
reject him? Yeah, we were having discussions with Willie the whole time and negotiating with Willie. I won't speak to the reasons why he didn't come back, but I know that we made him a fair offer that we were willing to negotiate, and we actually got to a point with Willie, and he decided that he was going to go into free agency. We asked him to keep us in the loop for their potential offers, and if he wanted to come back, to keep us updated. And he decided to go elsewhere.
And the high-profile guys are gone, but there's still some value guys out there. Are you still working hard to get a bunch of guys, or are you just looking at adding one or two more?
Well, I think it's important, and I know you guys can watch free agency, and it's always this time of the year is who's winning, who's not winning, and how who's improved the most. But I can promise you that the Grey Cup's not won in February. Our roster was. If you looked at it as a whole, if you put the whole roster up, we didn't have a whole lot of holes that we needed to fill. I felt like we could get better in some areas. And so we don't have a ton of offers that are still out there, but we do have offers that are out there. And, it's really just like I explained, the offers are presented to them and they have to feel like it's the right fit for them. And so we're still working. We still have offers on the table. It could come out, we can get all the offers that we have, or we can get none of them, but we'll keep working away on them, and hopefully it will work out.
Apparently one of the offers for rumor is they're looking at adding Darrell Walker. At least they've put an offer in. Bomber's interested, but he's in Toronto right now. The Argos were busy today signing former Rider and Blue Bomber Corey Poop Johnson to a contract. Terrell Sutton, running back with Montreal and BC, going to Toronto. And Micah Awe, linebacker, formerly the Lions, signing with the Argos. So they were busy. They were holding on to the cash, offering it to Bo Levi. He turned down their money to go to Calgary for less cash, so now they can spend some of that money. Also signing Jonathan Jennings in Ottawa, as we talked about, and Daron Carter, a one-year deal in BC. The Riders got receiver Corey Watson, the 34-year-old Canadian receiver. Jake Hardy is out for the year again. He had a setback with regards to his knee rehab, so he is not going to play this year for the Riders again. So that free agent signing not quite working out for the Riders. Good luck to him in his recovery. Never like to see that. And I think Devin Bailey's a free agent, so the Riders had to do something as far as a Canuck receiver goes, and they bring Corey Watson back into the fold. He was here for a quick little spell before going to Edmonton, also a former Winnipeg Blue Bomber. All right. I want to thank you, the fine listener, for tuning into the show. I want to thank my guest today. First off, Bob Krawczyk, for sitting in the co-host chair. Rich Sutter joined us in the Wheaton Kia Hotline. Also, Phil Andrews from the Pats. Remember, they've got their Have a Heart Night tonight in support of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. They'll be at various Western Pizzas helping out there with proceeds going to the Heart and Stroke Foundation. We heard from Jeremy O'Day. Also, we heard from Micah Johnson, and also we heard from our friend Zach Kolaros. He joined us on the show. Also, Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, talking some great hockey calls. It's World Radio Day. Brian Munns from the Winnipeg Jets Radio Network. And we heard from James Duke Ellingson as well. And thanks to my great producer, Sean Kleisinger Zinger, the best in the business. And I've worked with a bunch of guys, and they all say that, but he is the best in the business. Yeah, it's awesome, man. Nice working with you. Thanks for making this kind of transition for me easy. I will talk to you guys next week. Tomorrow, Mitch is in the big chair, and then we've got a combination of Bob Krawczyk and Brendan McGuire from the Brandt Center, as the Pats will host the Edmonton Oil Kings that night. Until next week, have a warm rest of the week, folks.